All right, back down here in Foxborough. It is Patriots Monday. It's time for Coffee with a Coach. Hello, Bill Belichick.
Hey, Glenn, how you doing?
Good.
Coach. Pete, Fred, Steve, how's it going
Coach,
today?
Fine.
Seems like I was just in here.
Yes, you were.
It seems like Friday.
Yeah, oh, I can't remember back that far.
Maybe that's what it was.
So how was the weekend?
Nice. I feel like I'm a regular on the show.
Nice relaxing weekend?
Well, yeah. It was.
Did you guys work a lot? Or?
Try to get caught up on a few things. 10 games is a lot of... A lot of loose ends laying around, so I try to get some of them tied up, get going on Miami. Saw Miami, play impressively yesterday again. So we're on it.
All right, so how much Wildcat conversation was there this weekend and all of the different wrinkles that they run off of the Wildcat? How much do you have to work on that now?
Well, we certainly have to dedicate some time to it, but they run it 5 to 10 times a game.
Every week, though.
So they...
Everyone's running.
Yeah, but they do a lot of other stuff, too. They got a lot of empty and a lot of different formation groupings and unbalanced line. And so, it's another log on the fire, and you certainly got to work on it, but it's not all you got to work on. And they're moving the ball, and they're a very good running team. They play good defense, and they're a good football team.
Now, basically, the Wildcat, they have a back in there as a quarterback. And the quarterback goes out to wide receiver.
Right.
So how does that change the responsibilities?
Well, it really gives you another – offensively, it gives you another player. You put a player out on the quarterback, and so you're 10-on-10. Whereas when the quarterback hands the ball to a running back, then you're really it's 11 against 9. I mean, they'll have nine blockers.
They have one more blocker then.
Yeah. So they gain a blocker. They gain another gap, and it's – basically want to keep a player in the deep part of the field just for security. If you move him up, which is an option, then you just lose that. So that's what happened to Houston when they hit the flea flicker on him and, tossed it over their head for, 50-yard touchdown. So, you can bring him up, but if they split you, then it's all over. So you got to be careful about that.
Well, people keep on talking about it as a gimmick play or whatever. It really is a formation that plays to their strength of their personnel, and they seem to run so many different things off of it. I mean, how much work do you do on it? You've gone over and seen all of the different things they do, and yet on Sunday they could do something totally different off of that.
Right. Well, they've run probably two or three new plays on it each week. Let's say at least two new plays each week. So times whatever that is, 7 weeks. They've added quite a few wrinkles, but basically it comes down to either Ronnie Brown's going to hand the ball to Ricky Williams on a speed sweep, or he's going to keep it, and the blocking scheme may vary inside, however they're going to do it, whether they run the power or double team or counter or something. And then they have some other, like, gimmick plays off it. They run the reverse, they run a flea flicker, they run a couple bootlegs, like they ran against us. Mm-hmm. So they've got a couple of those plays to keep you honest, but 90% of it is either Ronnie giving it to Ricky Williams or Ronnie keeping it after the fake to Ricky on the speed sweep with some kind of blocking scheme inside.
Now, the downside to that is you got a guy handling the ball, doesn't handle the snap, and doesn't throw the ball very well. So it limits what they can do in the passing game.
It limits what they do in the passing game, but they're able to hit all the gaps in the running game, and that's really the heart of the problem is you just don't have enough guys for all the gaps. You're a guy short somewhere along the line, and because Brown lines up so deep, he really, a lot of his plays come not because there's a gaping hole, but because he finds daylight somewhere and is able to get through there, and he breaks a lot of tackles. I'd say probably at least half of his yardage in the formation has come from broken tackles.
When you were out practicing that play, who's, because as banged up as your running backs have been, who's on the scout team? Who plays Brown?
Yeah, we'll have to figure that out, Pete. We haven't gone out there yet. We'll have to take some nominations tomorrow.
Is it as simple as relearning option responsibilities defensively?
Well, they really haven't run very much option, Steve, believe it or not. Most of it is give the ball or fake it to Ricky Williams on the speed sweep, which kind of widens the defense on one side, and then it's just a question of where Brown goes, whether he goes kind of behind Ricky or back inside or counters back. Mm-hmm. So it's more of playing the blocking responsibilities on your play and how much the sweep distracts you from doing that.
So you can't be enamored of what's going on behind you. You still got to get your basic reads up front.
Yes. Yes, but if the ball's handed off to Ricky Williams, then you got to go chase him down. Yeah. And that's
that's fun.
So, you just can't sit there and, take on the guard.
Right.
Or if he's running around the corner, you lose too many guys inside doing it that way. So that they do a good job with it.
And so they only run 10. Why wouldn't they run more? How much does it limit what you can do?
Well, it's really just a question of how much they want to run it. They don't run it every play. They just mix it in there from time to time, and a lot of times they don't stay in it more than a play or two. It's not like they'll stay in it for a whole series. So they give it to you, and then they're into empty, and then they're into three wide receivers, and then they're into two tight ends and two backs, and then they're into something else. So they really force you to make a lot of adjustments and communications on defense.
The first game, the tight ends, especially early on, Martin and Fasano really had some big catches for some big yardage. How do you plan to adjust to that this time around?
Well, they got us over the middle a couple times. We just have to defend it better. It wasn't anything that we haven't seen before. It wasn't any kind of, like the Wildcat formation or anything. We just didn't play it very well. They also got the ball outside. Pennington was whatever he was, 17 for 20, and so we just got to do a better job in the passing game of hitting a quarterback, hitting the receivers, and making the throws more competitive. But we didn't do a very good job of that. I mean, we didn't do a very good job of anything in the first game. They played great, and they ran the ball, they threw it, they played defense, they did everything.
Off that point in the season, the offensive line was not blocking passers. I mean, Porter was in the backfield, and they were able to get pressure primarily with three guys, and that spells doom for most teams. But it seemed like the blocking right now is much more cohesive with the offensive line than it was back then. It seemed to be, but little gaps, and they were hitting, they were getting pressure on Castle, and he obviously wasn't the quarterback he is now. But was it they just, breakdowns on the way they were picking things up and sliding? Because it seemed like there was whole gaps all over the place with that pass rush.
Well, I'd say that most of the pass rush was, four guys. There wasn't a lot of three-man rush, but I'd say probably half of the problem came somewhere in the offensive line, and then the other half of the problem came with the backs, tight ends, receiver, quarterback timing. I think two of Porter's sacks came on somebody other in the offensive line. So it wasn't exclusively an offensive line problem, although that could have been better, but there were some other problems too.
I shouldn't say offensive line. I mean the offensive unit.
Yeah, the protection.
Sometimes get back help when the sliding one way the back steps up. So it just seems like they weren't on the same page and who to pick up in the proper times.
Right. Well, I don't think there were too many times where we didn't have them picked up. I think there were times when we just didn't block them.
Yeah.
And then, we got hung up on the screen pass and Starks intercepted that. And so we had, we just had too many bad plays offensively. Even though we moved the ball, we had too many bad plays that either didn't allow us to get the ball in the end zone, or, it was a turnover, or so we weren't as productive. We had some opportunities to score more points than 13, but we didn't capitalize on them. And defensively, we had a hard time stopping them.
Now let's get to that their defense. And Joey Porter has had a monster season so far. And by the way, lets everybody know about it.
It's quite quiet.
Well,
he'd be well on
like
the show.
To talk.
You never know.
Very
really modest.
Quiet. Say hello
not
for
very
10
modest
minutes.
Guy. But I think he's had 12 or 13 sacks this year. They certainly had a changing of the guard in the offseason last year to this year with the defense. But what is making Porter such a significant player out there on the field?
I think the biggest difference from this year to last year is the fact that they're ahead and they're playing. They're playing teams that have to throw the ball because they're ahead, whereas last year, in a lot of games, they were behind and behind early, and so that limits your opportunities right there. So I think that's a big part of it. I think as a player, he's still basically the same player. He's a fast upfield rusher. He's got good quickness. He's got a good up-and-under move. But it's just given them the opportunity to pass rush more than they did last year, and certainly you got to give a lot of credit to the coaching staff and the organization down there for everything they've done in terms of turning things around. A lot of new players, a lot of young players, but they're playing well, and they're playing good in all three phases of the game, and certainly a lot more than they were last year.
How's their secondary?
Good. They've added Jason Allen. Kind of, he's taken Lehan's spot when Lehan went on IR, and so Allen's come in at left corner on our right side. Will Allen moves inside and sub. And Hill and Ronaldo Hill and Jeremiah Bell are the safeties, and in their six defensive back package, then Hill stays deep. Bell comes down and plays on the tight end, and they bring in Culver. So they're fast. Will Allen's an excellent corner, both outside and in the slot. And, you know, Jason Allen's given him some plays on the perimeter. He and Goodman are both bigger guys, physical guys. And you know, of course, the pass rush, you know, you can't hold the ball back there all day. So,
how often do they blitz? It seems like they're very successful with four, so how often do they blitz?
They mix it in a little bit, not a lot, probably one out of five or so, something like that. They're not a big blitzing team. They do it to keep you honest, and they use it as a change up, but they haven't done a lot of blitzing, and they haven't given up a lot of big plays defensively, so that's been real good for
you
them.
You said prior to the game, their offensive line seems like they're working together much better, coming off the ball better than last year, and protecting the quarterback and opening holes. Has that been a big improvement for them?
Absolutely. You know, Carey's is a good player for him, very good player. He played left tackle last year when they drafted Long. They shifted him over to the right side, so that's certainly helped both guys. And then Smiley was a pickup from San Francisco, and he's played left guard for him, and he's done a good job. Satelli's a center, and you know he's getting a little more experience now. So they've got a good solid group in there, and you know their tight ends are that's also been a you know an improvement. Getting Fasano in there, and Martin now is really the second tight end. So they've been able to use both of those players kind of into their strengths with Martin down the field in the passing game and being selective in what they ask him to do blocking-wise because Fasano can handle a lot of the on-the-line assignments and pass protection. He's a good blocker.
How much of a problem was it that you didn't have any book, really, on what they were going to run? I mean, they come up with stuff. They hadn't been there in this new...
Well, that's kind of the nature of their team, Fred. With Dan Henning, their offensive coordinator, he's a very much of a game plan coach, and so he changes things up from week to week. I worked with Dan at New York, and Dan always has had a liking for gadget plays and trick plays and new formations and different looks and those kind of things. So, you know you're going to get that from him on a weekly basis. We're going to get something different than we saw last week at Oakland or the week before at Buffalo or what have you. So that's really no surprise. It really comes down to executing those things, and the Dolphins have done a great job of that, starting with Pennington. You know, they have the fewest turnovers in the league. He makes great decisions with the ball. They have a good running game, and they're able to pound out a lot of good, you know, solid yardage there. And it doesn't always result in, you know, 40-point games, but they're able to possess the ball. They don't get put their defense in bad field position situations, and they take advantage of their opportunities. And they've been very good in the red area, and I think that's probably the biggest area where the Wildcat formation has helped them has been in their red zone production. And they've gotten a lot of scores or a lot of positive yardage down there in the running game, which has given them the opportunity to score more touchdowns.
I want to ask you about Pennington because he's a guy that you know is not necessarily going to throw the ball deep. So he limits the field in what he's doing out there. But why is he so difficult? Is it that he reads so well, that he handles the ball so well, that he's so accurate out there in the short passing game that he makes it very, very difficult to defend?
Yeah, I think that's pretty well sums it up.
Because he does shorten the field. I mean, you pretty much know that you're not at risk to see him throw to air it out. He'll do it every once in a while, but it's not.
Yeah, he can get the ball downfield. I don't think that's, he goes with the high percentage passes. And when he throws it downfield, it's usually high percentage. Either the corner's pressed out there or it's off of a, you know, a play action fake like a flea flicker or a hard play action or something like that where a lot of guys suck up into the play, and then he's thrown against light coverage in the deep part of the field. But he makes a lot of good decisions. When the defense is back, he gives the ball to the backs on check downs and lets them run with it. And that's smart football. Those guys make a lot of yards. But he uses Camarillo, and Ginn's been, you know, much more productive than he was last year.
Yeah, big game yesterday,
Sure. And they use, you know, Bess in the slot and get the ball to the tight ends, Martin and Fasano. And so, again, the thing he does well is he finds the soft spots in the defense. He gets the ball to his playmakers, and he lets them go to work. And, you know, Brown can take a 2-yard pass and turn it into 20. If they tackle him, they tackle him. But he's going to give him a chance to do that. Same thing with Ricky Williams and even Cobbs.
Boy, he cuts well for a big guy. Brown explodes upfield.
Oh, he does. He's a powerful guy. Very, you know, got a long stride, too. When he gets out and gets a little space, he chews up a lot of ground. He takes, you know, 2 or 3 strides, and he's got 20 yards.
But getting back to Ginn Jr. is my next question, because he's one of those first-round picks that was criticized a little bit, high first-round pick, and now the last few
slow
games.
Start.
Slow start.
Who criticized
it, even though the numbers aren't, well, a lot of national experts. I didn't know. I didn't know enough about him. I saw him at Ohio State, other than that. But, I mean, he really seems now to be coming into his own. The numbers aren't overwhelming if you look at it on paper, but he can be a real, real dangerous player, and he has been the last few weeks for them.
Well, again, Pete, I think it's a classic case of the running game helps the passing game. And when you can run the ball, that opens up a lot of things for those receivers because it's hard to get out there and double gin when you got Ronnie Brown and Ricky Williams pounding away. And the more guys you bring in there to stop them, then the easier it is to throw the ball outside of the receivers. So I think that not taking anything away from Ginn one way or the other. I'm just saying that when you've got the running game going as well as they've had it going, that opens up a lot of passing plays for the quarterback and the receivers on the perimeter. And Pennington hits a high percentage of passes. There are very few turnovers. They're not playing from behind a lot. They're not throwing and, having to catch up by a couple touchdowns and, have the team pass rush 40 or 50 times a game. They don't have to go through that like they did last year. So I think that's helped Ginn too. And also, as the defense starts to creep up and creep up, then that's given them opportunity for some deeper balls that they've hit.
Does Ricky Williams surprise you with the resurgence? I mean, he looks quick. Quick. He's not as big as he was, but he seems to be hitting the holes relatively quick.
Yeah, I think he's run a lot better than he did, 2 years ago when we saw him. Definitely.
His lifestyle changed a little bit, probably helped him read the defenses a little bit better.
He got a little more rest.
He used to see five defensive players. There was only two.
No late-night snacks.
No six pizzas. You know what that's about.
I know that you treat every game, obviously, with great emphasis, but do you mention anything to your players looking at this, not only as a division game, but if you look at some of the numbers, conference record, division record, fact that they've already beaten you once, it really becomes even a bigger game in what your goal is, and that is to make it into the playoffs. Do you emphasize that at all to the players? This is one of those games we need to win, gentlemen. Not that you don't need to win all of them, but there's a little bit more emphasis in that this one's going to have more meaning mathematically at the end.
Well, I think we all understand that the further you go into the season, the more each game means because there are fewer games, and the more the division games mean because they're division games. So, I think we understand that. We can say it, but I think that everybody's aware of that. I don't think anybody's going to do anything other than prepare their hardest and their best to go down and play our best game against Miami. So that's what our emphasis will be. That's what it should be. And Miami's a good football team. It won't be easy. So we know we got our work cut out for us going down there. And, they're just playing great football. They've got a very good group of talented players and a great coaching staff. They've done a great job. So we know what we're going to have to do, and it's going to be hard.
Travel plans stay the same, I believe, on Saturday?
Yes.
Sometimes people want to go down early and get used to the weather. It just tires you out more.
Weather's not bad now, though. It was colder yesterday down there, I think, than it was here earlier
today.
Yeah, it's down to
70.
Yeah.
Freezing.
I wouldn't bet too many days on that.
No.
You just feel hot because you're so fat.
There you go.
All
right. See what I mean?
That wasn't me.
That was your
show.
No, that's your coach 41st. Comes on here and you act like a human being.
That's all you got.
It's time for our cleanenergyaction.net coach's question of the week. This one, Coach, comes from John Cull of Worcester, Massachusetts.
I know,
John asked, at several points during last Thursday night's game, the camera showed you taking notes during the game. Do you use those to make halftime adjustments, or are they teaching points for practice on the following week, or are you just trying to figure out what Fred will say on Mondays here
pictures.
On the show?
I'm just trying to figure out what Fred will say.
It's confusing sometimes.
We can't.
There are things that come up during the game that, I want to make sure we talk about either at the end of the series or possibly at halftime. A team like the Jets that changes personnel a lot, just was making a note of the different personnel groupings that were in there on the play of each series. So that when I saw the pictures and we started talking about it, that I would remember who's in the game, one tight end and two backs, two tight ends and one back, three receivers and one back, those kind of things. So, just jotting down a few notes to when I talk to the team, when we make adjustments and we talk about what we're doing, just to make sure that, we've got everything right on the coaching end and we can present it to the players accurately. Sometimes if there's a breakdown on the play, to make sure that, we remind the players to – remind ourselves to talk to the players about, something, maybe a guy that was open that the ball wasn't thrown to, but, to make sure that we cover that the next time because we know that they'll see that.
What type of communication is going on during the course of the game? A lot of times you're talking, other times you're silent. Josh is obviously sending the plays in. What's going on during that process? How much are you jumping into the fray at that moment?
Well, it really varies by the situation and you know what exactly we're talking about. But Josh and Dean make the communication calls to the signal caller on the field, either the quarterback or the defensive signal caller. You know, sometimes we'll talk about plays that are coming up, you know, what we want to do in the next third down situation, or if we get a first down after this third down play, what we want to start the series with from a call standpoint. You know, things like that, four downs, you know, for Josh, when, you know, when we'd be looking at field, when we're in field goal range, when we'd want to attempt a field goal, when we wouldn't, you know, things like that.
Steve's coming down this weekend, so if you smell like 4 gallons of sunblock, you know he's in the area.
Not true. I'm not going to be anywhere near Miami.
I thought you were coming down.
Nope. Not a chance.
So you've been lying to the audience?
No, just you. You're the only one dumb enough to fall for it.
Oh, because I believe you. I'm dumb because I trusted you, right?
I'm kidding.
Guilty as accused.
He already went out to New Jersey.
There's no free golf in Miami this weekend. That's why I'm
every
not
Patriots Monday this year, when we talk to the coach, you'll have a chance to submit your question to Ask the Coach at WEEI.com's football contest page. If your question is chosen, you automatically win a $100 gift card to the all-new Davios here at Patriots Place. The coach's question is powered all season long by TheClean.org. When you log on to TheClean.org, you'll find that a strong wind can do a lot more than push your winning field goals through the uprights. Tackle your energy costs and alternatives at TheClean.org today. Can you do tomorrow's show, Coach?
Tomorrow's sure, show. Yeah.
There you go.
Did you have a question?
What's that again?
That lousy one, was it, that question?
That lousy one, yes, that was the question.
Do you have one for the guys?
For Fred. You have one for Fred.
Don't include me. I freak out.
Ask him why he doesn't get any more sleep. That's what
I'm breaking down games. I'm, you know, coaching high school, so I break down games.
Are you a little concerned?
How's
now?
That going?
He's in the coaching. Yeah, they keep running up. They keep running up the score.
No, we've been doing pretty well. What are we, 7?
They lost two games.
Playoffs?
No, because AB beat us.
Uh-huh.
If they beat us, they go.
It would be acting Buck.
And it's funny.
What it is? He's around.
It's funny. Just like the NFL referees, the high school referees hate Fred too. I've never seen anything like
that. They're not that fast, so I tackled a couple last week. They've been pretty good.
Good luck Sunday in Miami, and we'll see you back here Monday.
All right,
Mondays.
See you, Coach.
See you next Monday. All right, thank you.
Good luck.